Welcome back to PDH course G210, National CAD Standards, version 3.1 of April 07. In this section, we're going to discuss form of schedules, that is, lists. The goal here is to be able to honestly say full compliance after the category head schedules. This has been appended here with lists for persons who persist in associating time of occurrence with schedules. The standard is very clear that two columns constitute a list, whereas three or more columns are a schedule. The standard has 11 measurable items in this category. They are required components, unique identifiers, notes or comments column, consistent layout throughout the set, consistent abbreviations defined somewhere, layout consistent with sheet modules, text size that matches that used in the rest of the package, use of heavy lines and spaces for separation, layout to permit insertion or expansion, reference to and from specifications but do not duplicate the specification content, verify that the schedule is intact when the Olay link is broken. There are 7 required components. These are heading, minimum of 3 columns, identifier column or mark, description column, characteristic columns, identified units, and a comment column. It's usually valuable to provide a little more information in the heading than might be minimum. The schedule may be copied from the sheet and given to a purchasing agent or to a counter person at the supplier's place of business. For instance, you would say BP200 480 volt distribution panels, even though the sheet identifies BP200 several places. Architects use identifier marks more than electrical designers, but certainly a good idea. A unique identifier for each item ensures that the person you're talking to on the phone is referring to the same thing you are. They help the installer do it right the first time as well. Identified units means metric or imperial, so you would say inches or millimeter or whatever. I've been interested lately to discover that in Mexico they use millimeters for very large measurements. Somehow in my mind millimeters are very small units of measure, but they measure column spacing in millimeters also. So you'll see 20,000 millimeters, and the drawing just says 20,000. You have to realize that it's millimeters, and that's why it's important to identify the units being used. The comment column seems superfluous until it is needed. Including it is part of the later requirement to accept insertions, expansions, and certainly additional description of needs. Consistent layout throughout the set means that architectural, mechanical, and electrical sheets should look similar. If a good sheet from a previous project is made available to all designers, it goes a long way towards promoting consistency. Interdepartmental check sets are required by many firms, but that may be too late to correct inconsistencies, or certainly too expensive to correct inconsistencies discovered at that point. Back to the problem of the designer being too close to the subject matter, explanation of abbreviations is necessary. This is true throughout the contract document set, but especially true for schedules, which are likely to take on a life of their own during the procurement stage. We say again, minimum text size is 3/32 of an inch or 2.4 millimeters, consistent throughout the set. Schedules are very frequently prepared in an external computer application. Many standards require that they be placed in paper space so that the size cannot be adjusted through viewport zoom ratio. If the schedules are to comply with a standard, they must have consistent look with the rest of the set, and that's text height and text font. One obvious way of providing uniformity of schedules among disciplines is to use a consistent set of heavy lines, like 0.5 millimeters, and spaces when separating columns and such. Always have 2 blanks before the data starts and 2 blanks after the data ends before the separator, and this is an example. Layout of the schedule to permit later insertion or expansion. Too many times I've had done as-built revisions and had to shrink the entire schedule times 0.95 because the original totally filled the sheet. Now, this is avoidable. Leave room for the guy that comes along later and adds another line to your schedule. The standard does not recommend on-sheet schedules over in-spec schedules, but it does forbid duplication. Because specifications seldom reach the construction foreman and never reach the installer, on-sheet schedules have a true advantage. Back to the use of external computer programs to generate the schedule. The intricacies of Microsoft, AutoCAD, and MicroStation are beyond your instructor, but sometimes Excel tables disappear when the drawing is opened on another machine. The standard does not address this, but it's a good thing to check when you're looking at a set just before release. Try the CD perhaps on a laptop. Let's now look at a sample electrical distribution schedule. The standard contains many, many examples of schedules. The worst by far is the electrical distribution panel schedule on page 319 of 960. The following version is not a very close copy, but demonstrates the schedule components required by the standard. Deviations from the sample within the standard are discussed following the illustration. Now, once again, we're restricted by copyright. We can't copy their illustration exactly, but we can certainly talk about the content, and that was the purpose of the course anyway. So, the electrical schedule, as shown in the standard, has a tag. Distribution panel board schedule is the title, and a space for location. The next line asks for volts and phase, bus rating and poles, main rating type, NEMA cabinet mounting, fed from, source feeder, short circuit rating, and notes as a lockout option. Now, these things are reasonable. We're not going to complain about what's here. We're going to complain about what's missing. In the schedule itself, there are a number of columns. The first is note, a number and note. The second one is trip. The next is load and area served, horsepower and kilowatt, wire and conduit with an asterisk. I'm having a little trouble reading this here. Let me fuss with my computer for a moment. And it continues to the right with load amps for phase A, B, and C. At the bottom of the schedule, we total the amps for phase A, B, and C, and we say total amps and demand amps. Well, the first problem with the NCS panel board schedule is does not identify the panel being used. I added the tag designation and the location. They were not part of the original sample schedule. Now, you have a number of distribution panels in every project. I mean, in the smallest project, you have power distribution and lighting distribution. So you've always got two schedules. You've got to know which one you have in your hand you're looking at. Yes, you can study to see if it's going to the lights or if it's going to receptacles to discover if it's lighting or power. But for goodness sakes, let's put a tag on it, 1L or 1P. The next deficiency is that it does not distinguish between the bus rating and the main circuit breaker rating. Now, I have that on the one I reported to you. This is not a copy of the one in the standard. This is a copy of the improved one that we're discussing. We need the bus rating and the circuit breaker rating. Why do we need this? Well, the purpose of the schedule is for the contract to buy the thing, contractor to buy the item before they install it. The purpose of the schedule in the drawing set is so that the inspector can go out and look at it and see if they put in the one they were supposed to put in. If you don't know which one they were supposed to put in, how do you do the inspection task? I've worked jobs where there's a separate panel board schedule which lists all panel boards and their ratings. Now, this is a bad idea because it makes people flip through sheets to make it work at all. And if all the sheets aren't available, it doesn't work at all. It may be helpful, however, for procurement, even though it's not much help for the people in the field. The third problem, yes, is the inclusion of a wire size for the feeder to the panel and the wire size for circuits to the loads. Very valuable information. And it's a good place to put it in this schedule for verifying sizing criteria for a checker or plans reviewer, but it certainly duplicates information in the plans. Undesirable to duplicate information at multiple points in a drawing set because one gets revised and the other gets missed in a field request for information or a field request for change order results. The fourth, and let's say inexcusable error, is counting 1, 2, 3. This is good for architects, but bad for electrical designers and construction workers. We always count 1, 3, 5 for panel boards. This results from the construction of the panel. The three buses are vertical with cross buses to the individual breakers, and there's an illustration following this. But what happens is on one side of the panel board, you have breakers 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9, and on the other side of the breaker, you have circuit breakers 2, 4, 6, and 8. And you wouldn't have a schedule saying 1, 2, 3 when in the field it's 1, 3, 5. A questionable component of the NCS version is the kW horsepower column. I've worked jobs where this was a standard in the panel schedule, but much more frequently it's included in the load description right on that same schedule, not as a separate column. The reason this is awkward is it's very difficult to determine what the kW or horsepower is. Yes, if it's a purchased motor, it's got a horsepower on the label. Yes, if it's a purchased exhaust fan, it's got a labeled horsepower on it. But a lot of things just don't have a readily available rating like that. And I think it belongs in the description. How many motors do you have on a panel schedule? Well, if you have a lot, maybe a column makes sense. But if you've only got one or two, it doesn't make sense to take up column space with it. Let's just put it in the load description. And again, a lot of times we're mixing little exhaust fans in the bathrooms with receptacles, and you don't need a column for kW and horsepower, and then you leave it blank for all the receptacles. That's silly. The next inexcusable error is the lack of breakdown of loads by phase. The panel board schedule exists primarily for two reasons: to size the main and to size the load breakers. The main is sized by comparing the sum of the loads on each phase with 80% of the size of the main. If we don't list the loads broken down by phase amps, the comparison cannot be performed. By the way, over half of the electrical designers now working do not understand this. Now, if you're an architect or a project manager, you don't need to understand this either. But the electrical designers are supposed to understand this. We total the amps, compare it with 80% of the main rating. Now, if an electrical designer doesn't understand this, please look at our course on the National Electric Code. Plotting things. The truth is that all of the good things could be listed in plotting have been listed in other categories. The only clear requirement that is special to plotting is that it use the standard paper size out of the 16 offered. Line weights and custom line types. The goal here is to be able to honestly say full compliance after the category head drafting. There are many requirements in the drafting section, but all line weights and custom line types are prominent. 13 measurable criteria. The circle line plan north pointing up, and we'll discuss this in detail what this means. Column grid number at the top and letters on the side. For details, title, unique identifier, and scale. Detail bubble with identifier on the top, sheet shown on the bottom. Line width that provides clear reproduction at the sheet size to be used. That is, if a reduced copy is going to be used in the bid set. Lines join at the ends with no space and no overlap. Use precise dimensions or a warning note. Size notes, dimensions, bubbles for uniformity across the final set on the final plot. Consist of dimensioning and break lines. For partial plans, provide match lines and key plans. Round dimensions uniformly, such as 1 7/8 inch equals 47.6 millimeters or equals 48 millimeters appended by a plus or minus symbol. Minimum text size is 3/32 of an inch or 2.4 millimeter. Existing uses a thin line. It's 0.25 millimeters. New uses a medium line, 0.35 millimeters. Demolition uses medium dashed. Hidden uses a thin dashed. The circle line plan north looks like the illustration in the written version of this. And it's simple. And that's the whole point of this. As years have gone by and drafting, and drafters have worked for years and years and decades, some things tend to get more complicated. And the north arrow is one of the things which has gotten very complicated. Well, the CAD standard says we go back to a simple north arrow. The preferred north arrow is a circle with a medium heavy bar pointing plant north and a dashed arrow pointing in geographic north or magnetic north. If there's a difference between the norths that could be used to describe the plan, the solid bar is the one that represents what we use in our plan set, and you can use an auxiliary in dashed line. A column grid is not an innovation, but including it on every plan drawing may be. Standard calls for numbers along the top, letters along the side, the bottom, and our bottom and other sides are optional, and the choice of size and font is discretionary, but it must be consistent throughout the set. Form of details is not prescribed. But there are many restrictions. They're not telling you what you must put in, but they're telling things you dare not put in, starting with the use of sheet modules described previously. Also, each detail must have a title, a unique identifier, and a scale bar or NTS notation. For example, scale none. The detail bubble is identical to that used for many decades and looks like this. It's reproduced in the standard. It's kind of a triangle superimposed over a bubble. The bubble has the sheet number on the top, a bar horizontally, and a sheet number on the bottom, the detail number on the top, and this is superimposed on top of the solid arrow. The identifier is unique within the set, not just on the page. And this is something that has caused pain for a long time. Typically, details come out of a detail set. A firm works for years solving problems, and they save the solutions they've used in the past. On the sheet where it was originally used, it has a detail number. This should be modified to match the new set it's being used in. Some people have modified them, so this is sheet 1 detail 1 and then it's followed by sheet 2 detail 1. But that's bad. That's real bad, because when somebody Xeroxes off just the detail, all you know is we've got two different detail 1s. Which one do we use? If we start on sheet 2 with detail 22, it's not a problem. It really doesn't cause a problem, and we no longer have duplicate details. Below is where the detail or section or elevation can be found. That's the sheet number where it comes out. Line widths are called out by the standard below, but the criterion is that the work be readable in the final prints as on a reduced bid set. Now, today we're using electronic distribution a lot more than we have in the past. For years and years and years, a reasonable number of project drawing sets would be made available at the owner's place of business or the engineer's place of business, or sometimes at a reproduction house. And we would make available full-size prints, and we'd make available reduced-size prints. Well, the 11 by 17 reduced prints are just so nice to work with that I won't say they're a standard in that anybody mandates it, but they are so commonly used that you can almost count on people working from the reduced set. Well, for goodness sake, the prints we make should be readable on the set that's distributed. So, yes, if we're designing on a big sheet, that's great, but do a check set at the size to be distributed also. The standard requires line join at ends with no space and no overlap. Well, what does this mean? This means if you zoom in on it, you don't see a space between two lines in a corner. You don't see an X at the corner. It just exactly kisses the line and continues on. Now, in AutoCAD, this is called OSNAP, object snap. Compliance is obvious. Just zoom in and look at it. Drafters who work by eye will leave evidence on the sheet, and it's not a happy thing. Use precise dimensions or a warning note. Precise dimensions means 1/8 of an inch for most facility construction. If the presentation is schematic and it's not intended to be scaled off, for goodness sake, tell people it's not to scale. It's always good to include a note, do not scale dimensions. And I say that as a joke because the contractor and supplier are always going to scale off quantities no matter what you say. Size notes, dimensions, bubbles for uniformity should be consistent across the set in the final plot. This means text set, but some text height, but some designers get very artistic with character width and slant. Avoid this. Consistent dimensions and break lines. The standard says both architects and electrical designers must use tick marks for dimensions or arrows. Break lines for piping must be the same symbol as break lines for conduits. By the way, this is never going to happen. I hope you realize how absurd this is. Architects use tick marks for dimensioning. Engineers use arrows for dimensioning. I've been around a while. I may be around long enough to see this change. It will be an interesting thing. Sheets with partial plans must have match lines calling out the sheet containing continuation of the work and a key plan identifying where the partial plan came from. Dimensions and rounding can be two places or fewer if warning is provided. And an example I'll repeat again, 1 7/8 inch equals 47.6 millimeters, and it's equal to 48 millimeters with the plus or minus symbol at the end. Minimum text size with no exceptions is 3/32 of an inch or 2.4 millimeters. Line weights to be used are as follows. For existing work, use thin of 0.25 millimeters. For new work, use medium of 0.35 millimeters. For demolition, use medium dashed, and for hidden, use thin dashed. Now, obviously, there's some flexibility in this, but there's a basic concept which you can tell by looking at the set if it's followed or not. Custom lines are discussed in a different section called symbols. Now there's a section called terms and abbreviation. The goal is to be able to honestly say full compliance after the category head terms and abbreviations. There are five measurable criteria as follows. They are: provide an abbreviation list for all abbreviations used. Do not abbreviate something with five characters or fewer. Just define the term on the sheet unless it's used on other sheets. If an abbreviation is used two ways in the set, spell it out in full. Do not use the abbreviation. If a term is vendor specific, for goodness sake, identify the vendor. There's a section on symbols. The goal in that section is to honestly say full compliance after the category head symbols. The standard has 8 measurable criteria. Letter symbols, math, and subscripts must follow the style demonstrated in the ASHRAE Handbook Fundamentals. Now, I looked this up. I didn't see anything very interesting in there. And I think maybe that's because I don't use math symbols and subscripts. About the only symbols we ever get involved with are diameter, I think it's a phi from Greek, and it has an AutoCAD designation for it, and there are other ways to find it. In the latest AutoCAD, they've got a symbols box you just click on when you're doing text, and it shows a picture and inserts them real nice. I don't use superscripts and subscripts in mathematics, but if you do, ASHRAE Handbook Fundamentals, their standard becomes the standard of NCS. A scale bar is required with every plan and scale detail, section, or elevation. Now, they like the scale bar better than the text 1/8 inch equals a foot. And the reason is because the thing can be reduced and it still works perfectly. There's no confusion. There's nothing funny going on. Detail bubble was discussed previously. Circle line plan north, and I hope these words mean something after our previous discussion, pointing up, as discussed previously. And I've got to stop here and say, not in Mexico. Those people really like north pointing to the right. And what's wrong with that? As long as everybody knows what it is and you've got a north arrow on your sheet, there should be no confusion. But if it gets a little sloppy and we drop the north arrow, then there's a lot of confusion, at least if we're designing it in the US of A and building it in Mexico. Line weights, existing work has to be the thin line, 0.25 millimeters. New work, medium line, 0.35. Demolition, medium dashed. Hidden, dashed also. As described previously. I'm real into screening, and the standard says nothing about it. There's a very oblique reference to it on one of the tables about a standard colors and line widths, and they don't even use the word screening. They call it grayscale, I think. I have found, I've been having trouble on a recent set, that if I screen the backgrounds down to 30%, they are still readable, but they don't intrude on the construction work being put in front of them or the text describing the construction work. Keynotes must be called out using a horizontal hex polygon with a number. What's a horizontal hex polygon? Well, the flat part of it goes sideways instead of the flat part going up and down. And the number is what they want to use for keynotes. Custom line types must be a thin line with three or four characters in 2.4 millimeter or 3/32 inch text. Now, this is very different from what I see on sets. When people are doing custom line types, they use a smaller text size. And I can understand that, and I can understand the standard saying, no, if you're going to put it on the sheet, it's supposed to be readable. It is not text being represented as a symbol. It's text to be read. And what's underground, whether it's water or a fire line or electrical or data, it's kind of important to know what that is. So I certainly agree with this. The next section is notation. Let's come back to that after a break.